Vamos a presentar la película como
antes. Let's present the film, as I said before, Neruda, that's presented in the Pearl section of the film festival to explain and to talk and to answer the questions that you may want to ask. We have with us, apart from Gael, Pablo Larraín, the director of the film, the actors Mercedes Morán and Pablo Derqui, and the producer Fernanda del Nido. Of course, they're all eagerly awaiting to answer any questions you may want to ask. If you want, whenever you're ready, we can start with the questions. This isn't used here, quite fortunately. Hi. I'm not too sure whether you can hear me. I would like to ask Pablo Larraín, because I remember the last time that we had the opportunity to speak to him was when you presented in the film El Club, and you talked about the working process vis-a-vis writing the screenplay of El Club and the work with your actors and with the cast, and you said it was quite different to what you were doing for the film Neruda, which was a work which was much more exhaustive and with a very closed screenplay. And when I saw the film yesterday, the truth is I was aware of the dimension, the complex dimension that that script and screenplay had for it, because on the one side you've got the story and then you've got the voice on off, the narrative that Gael is continuously telling us a story. It's not something that illustrated what we're seeing, but it worked as another narrative scene apart from what the scenes is on the screen. How was the work writing the screenplay on the one hand, and the work with the cast? How did you work with them? And on secondly, I hope it doesn't sound good or bad, it's just what I believe and what I've seen the film. Every time I see your film of yours, it's something that was absolutely different, apart from a cast of actors that accompany you, or perhaps that the films are always inscribed in a certain context, which may be geographic or ideological, that I know, because I follow you, I know what it is. But it seems that you take things with an approach, the way you construct things anesthetically, completely different. I'm not too sure whether you're seeking this or whether you're interested in this. There are films that, apart from El Club, seems that they take place in a near present. I'm not too sure whether you're interested in this or not. And thank you, by the way. The truth is, let's go back. It's a script. It's my brother's idea. Juan de Dios is the producer of the film, along with another producer. It occurred to him many years ago. This has probably got at least 7 or 8 years old. It's previous to one of those specific films that you referred to. It was very complicated for me to do. I thought it was incomplicated for me to shoot it. But we found that Guillermo Galberón, who was the first great idea of this project, was to find him. And because in the script was a more classical type biopic, and we worked very slowly at the beginning, and what we did was transforming it and turning into what you've seen on the screen. The truth is that it was a script which was quite solid and robust. I think that personally, I didn't want to even touch the screenplay. I told Guillermo and I made some remarks, but I didn't want to get involved because I didn't dare to do nothing to Neruda, because there are things that I dare do. To say, I'll shoot the film, but to write the screenplay and put words into Pablo Neruda's mouth, and at a given moment, some of the texts that Gael's character says, what he says, I don't want to do a spoiler of the film, but it could have been written by Neruda. So therefore, in a certain way, this is like you've got to make a film upon the Beatles and write a new lyrics to their songs. Very difficult. It's a very slowly written screenplay. And Juan was able to set up the film with participation media, AZ in Argentina and Spain, Funny Balloons from France. So therefore, it was a film which was complicated. It was large. And in 1 minute, at a given moment, because of dates, the film had to be changed. It had to change the dates. And trying to film something, that's when Le Club was filmed quite briefly during that period. And then we were able to film this film, shoot this film. So therefore, I'm not too sure. When I think about the screenplay structure and how it's structured, I don't know what Guillermo Calderón and what he did. There's something really powerful behind that, and it's very solid. I can tell you an anecdote, and that is that 2 weeks before starting the shoot, and all of the producers can say this to you. Where's Fernanda? Well, there she is. I'm sorry, Fernanda. My brother calls me and said, Juan, we've got a 160-page script and we've got to get rid of 20. We can't film all of this. It's too much. We get rid of 20 pages because we've got no money to shoot all of this film. And I went with Guillermo to the beach. I don't remember where we went. And we came back with a 190-page screenplay. And I said, brother, sorry, I'm going to film it the way it is. 187, I don't remember. I'm going to film it because there's nothing to get rid of here. We can't let, and the fact we, the very long scenes we shot, 6 or 7 pages in one day for a film. It's not normal. It's like a TV rhythm shooting. And sometimes it was one page a day, depending upon the scene. But of course, with Guillermo, we detected a lot of things, and it was a pleasure to see him write and everything that emerged and occurred to him in a minute. At a given moment, all of a sudden, I said, well, okay, the screenplay was terrifying. It was huge. And then the heaps of papers, and it was very large because the screenplay was very long. I think the shoot took about 8 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. 9 weeks, a bit more in Buenos Aires and Paris. But that was it. And as regards to what the other thing you just said, I think it's important. I'm very concerned that the films have their visual identity. I don't know. I work a lot in trying to differentiate them and to make sure that each of them have their own rhythm and personality. I don't know what more to say because it has to do with identity and the idea behind that film. Because there's a lot of love in the middle of all of this, and it's like a brotherly relationship or a family relationship, so therefore it's very individual and very associated, just that specific film and how you're going to see and feel that film. That's it. That's what I wanted to say. Next question, please. I saw the film last night. I entered in with a lot of illusion, and I felt very deceived and let down when I saw the film. I think that it's failed in its objective. You don't really tell us anything new upon Neruda as regards to the contents or about who Neruda was. You chose a moment, which was quite specific, of the Chilean policies, which is 1948. But Neruda is much more than 1948. So therefore, I'd like to ask you whether you're not going to share my point of view, but if you're happy, or you believe you've been able to, or you believe you could have improved your film. Listen, thank you very much for your remark, and I think it's great that you think what you think, and you say what you think, but I'm happy with the film. I think that it's a film which is a very beautiful film, and I think that you're asking to this film to ask you something that this film can't solve. And I believe you said that Neruda is much more than the film, because Neruda can't form part of the film. This is what it is. It's simply just an approximation to Neruda from his work and figure. If it was possible to put Neruda into the film, probably neither you or I would be here. Thank you. Next question, please. Hi. I love the film. Just to give you a different perspective. What I would like to ask you is that the work that you carried out with the cast, and I'm referring to the actors in the cast, because what drew my attention was, it seems that they're very complex characters, everything's very poetic. They're not easy, and they're not easy characters to portray. How did you transmit that message to the actors so that the film could come out the way you liked and the way you wanted to? Please, ask the actors as well, ask the cast. Understanding the film that's not realistic, not realistic. I don't like to rehearse too much. We read a little bit and we talked a little bit and that was it. And we went, my trend is to resolve the things on, resolve things on set. So, but I believe it's a film that is filmed and fits in and is narrated in a very classic is for film towards film, if you catch what I'm saying, for me. And the performances are on the limit of realism. They're on the edge of realism, and we play a bit with this. We're driving that realism as much as we can to understand that we are in an area, a space of fiction, that there's no realist attempt there. For me personally, being realistic sort of cinema, I enjoy it when I see it, but it's very difficult to make and to shoot. I prefer, when I think about this film, I think about these old magicians. For example, there's a person uses smoke and another one uses, or there's a smoke bomb, that sort of magic these old magicians use. It has an artificial flavor to it. It's not realistic. It's quite imaginary that we've absorbed from Neruda's poetry, and it has a structure which is almost Borgian or Borges-like. There's a mixture between literary canons, so to speak. There are two. There's another specific thing that I lived through when we did El No. There's a family, a filmography family that's of Pablo and the group of actors and the crew, technical crew, and the work of the it's a big, it's established family almost with its own rules, with its own codes, that is to say, with the communication which was quite fluid. And when you arrive there at the beginning, you go, and like when you come to a party, you arrive at a party which is already warmed up, then you don't know anybody. So you go, where do I fit in? And in this occasion, I was the interpreter. I had to interpret all of this towards Mercedes and Pablo, who had never felt that, but I knew what it was like to be in their shoes, so therefore, and that's what I had felt when I formed part of the group and the crew. Now it's your turn to talk. Yes. It's not a task that it's worthwhile to verbally communicate what's the language in which you want to film, shoot a film by the director, from the director to the actors. I think these are just short sentences that, or phrases, that's the way I understood it, from Pablo and with Gael, who I'd already worked with. It was look at each other and he should say, Go on, trust him. And I had seen Pablo's films already, and I knew and I liked them, but with Pablo we were disconcerted because we came late to that party, as I was saying, and then it was much easier for me later on, because I always think that when there's a person who's inspired, this person generates an atmosphere around him or herself, where all you've got to do is to let yourself go and to take that leap of faith when we make a film that we all do, and then start to dance in the party. So there, for me, it was a party for me, a really good party to make this film. For me, it was a joy and luxury. I'm an admirer of Pablo's films, and I felt like that. That's like I come to a party and I didn't know where I was in Chile. I was lost. I had gastroenteritis and I had a horrible time. You can see it in the film. I lost a lot of weight. But Mercedes adopted me, and Gael first, obviously. And And I enjoyed it very much. I felt that we were painting a film because it's a something that Pablo has quite a lot. He surrounds himself with a brilliant crew and cast that follows whatever he says, like a painter. One has to let oneself one go. But initially I didn't know where I was going, but it was a surprise and it was a gift at the same time. Yes, my question was for Pablo again, but you've almost answered. 2 years ago, I told you it was great to see you here, and you're taking a long time. And now that you're here, okay, thank you. I would like to ask you, with the experience you've got in theater, that you've worked the universe of Lou Reed, different poets, or previous to this, called Tekst, who's a drama writer, but we can sit him a poet. What has it meant for you? Neruda meant for you. What does Neruda mean in your life? Or is he a poet that's close to you? And then I was going to ask you about what was like working with the director, but you've already answered this. Thank you. No, thank you for your kindness to start off with. I'm more Coltacean, and that is to say Neruda, for example. I know him. I've never got involved into what he does, but through the film I have read more about him. But I didn't want to, it's something that neither in the film is there any historic pretension or to enter into his poetry. But I thought the screenplay, when I read the screenplay, I thought it was very powerful. I said, God, are they going to be able to make this film? And I let myself go through let the screenplay take me, for example, on the ride. I didn't, I never met Victor Pei, who is the character that I portray, who's still alive, but it's very difficult to be realistic with things. And I didn't obtain that, the film didn't have that pretension, so therefore what I did was to let myself go with what the screenplay said, and then to look at Neruda, but glancing at Neruda, I wasn't Neruda, I was Victor Pei. Hi. I would like to ask how Gael's Oscar Pelletier, for example, his character, how did he constructed that in the directing of actors and also the construction of the character? Because perhaps this data is still missing, but there's been a certain discrepancy within Chile, because it's a character, it's based upon reality, but perhaps a bit more stylized. And that is to say, I would like to know, or streamlined, could you both tell us about how you addressed the character from a director's point of view and from the actor's point of view, because I think it's a key element within the film, a key character within the film. What I must say is that in many of the scenes of the film, I had to leave the set because I laughed quite a lot. It was dangerous because I distracted the actors. So therefore, it was difficult for them to be performing a serious role with a director who was cracking up and laughing all the time, because it was very funny at least to do it. But then it takes another shape when you're in the editing room. But Oscar Pelluccione didn't exist. He was a policeman. The only thing that he has in common is the name of the policeman. All of the rest is a product of fiction. We kept the name because I thought it was interesting, a very peculiar name, particular name. And all of the rest comes from the script, the screenplay, from the narrative process for the film. But it was a bit delicate to talk about the character, because quite obviously in the film, you know that if one reveals everything, we're revealing the end of the film. So therefore, one prefers for the people to see the film themselves, the audience. So therefore, there's a flavor or a feeling. I'm not too sure what Gael thinks about this. He's provided Pelluccino a certain of solitude of those characters, that say the solitary policeman who's always a bit lost. And the world happens around him and goes past him. And we as an audience see that torment, but he doesn't see it. And that's the key, I believe. That is how everything vibrates around him, the information circulates around him, how he himself talks with a voice speaks with a voice as if it was written by another person, and then finally he recovers his identity as of this search. For me, it was a film in which Neruda designs his legend and the policeman understands the meaning of his life. And so therefore, and that's done through the figure of Neruda, always in a very special place where Gael was. That point of view acting was quite particular and specific. So therefore, it's like a place that's very difficult to explain verbally. And this is a film that we were making, shooting. It's quite funny. It turned, well, sometimes from nerves or because of anxiety or whatever, but it made me laugh. There was something there. The way Gael put his hat on and how he looked, he was a bit clumsy, but also beautiful at the same time. I don't know. It's a cocktail of humanity, which is quite peculiar in nature. There's nothing funnier than seeing a policeman taking his job very seriously. There's nothing funnier than that. And there's something comical in this involuntarily. But we bore in mind the consequences of all of this. It happened to all of us in the process. When we working in this way, almost carnivalesque-like, let's set it up and let's see how things work. Let's play with the elements that we've got around us. Let's see how it goes. And there one starts to draw certain conclusions that, and all of a sudden, or conjecture things that ought to launch to know where the character is coming from or what the character means. There's a very good experience that takes place with Oscar Peluchino, the character I portray, and he is the main receptor, shall we say, or the natural receptor of Neruda's poetry, but for some reason he didn't receive it. He's a pariah of society that wants to make a name of himself, and the poetry that Neruda wrote was to include all of these people in the political position that he managed. It was to incorporate these people within society. And it didn't reach him, and that's where the duel lies, the legendary duel between the poet and the fascist. That is to say, that's where fascists arise, that poetry never arrived and never read that advantage or that kindness of being able to change their life to fascists and to own their own destiny or fate. And I feel this is a consequence that's difficult to perform this and to portray it and convey it. It's complicated, but as a consequence, I think that's where something that we were able to get a grip of. And part of this, me, was the key that he was the son, a bastard son that was born in a brothel. And it gave him a personality or a character that was almost an interesting sickness or illness to the characters. So, and these are the things that we hold a grip of in order to, let's say, how the sickness that the characters have. The character that makes it home, opens the door, he throws the keys down, he leaves the gun on the table, he walks, he sits down, and then he sits right behind the light. It's a bit like that. I said, play a bit. To use that role, he was totally lost. He takes it seriously, but he was a bit lost. He didn't know where he was going. And that was very good, and we started to play with this. I remember with Gael and Mercedes, the day when we were in customs, he's sitting down, the actor that does the customs guy, and he allows us to go into Argentina, and I said to Mercedes, this doesn't work because she's too serious. You will laugh at it. Enjoy it. She looked at me with a face, said, what, serious? Yeah, say hello, wave to him, say goodbye. Hey, you're beautiful. Yeah, I'm going to play with the guy at customs. And that's what we started to do, and the film started to be a bit more delirious. And then Pablo, who had to be the serious actor, someone had to take the foothold of a serious actor. Pablo continued to be super serious. Neruda was doing his work of designing all of this at the same time. Delia was fascinated by this. Oh, what are you? Well, we've got to do something. You want to be famous, for example. And Gael was on another planet. So therefore, all of the characters are in different, taking different direction. That's where the film fitted into a place that I thought was quite beautiful.
Hola, buenas tardes.
Hi, good afternoon. My question for Pablo Larraín. Could you I would like to ask you about Chilean films that are going to be seen at this film festival. It's a cinema or filmography which takes as a premise real facts. I'm not too sure whether there's any motivation behind this or the fact that many of the films in Chile are inspired upon real facts. I'm not too sure whether there's a specific trend of the directors or the audience are asking for this. Do you see any reason? It's very difficult for me to answer that, but imagine I can hardly answer you about my films, but I do see there's a lot of power. Chilean films are now at a cinematography is at a great moment. I'm not sure how many films, 7 Chilean films in all the different categories. There are people who are doing quite a diverse range of things. I think that we're a team of directors that everyone plays individually, but we all kick towards the same goal, kicking towards the same goal. But there are people who I admire enormously. I'm not sure, but I think Chile is at a moment which is at a very moving moment, and a lot of people are taking those stories and putting it on the screen. I think that's very valuable because we're talking about people who have a political interest and people who are showing something that concerns us and doing with a camera, with all the elements used in films, and that's always a very powerful thing. And there's something that we've learned. Let's say what Gail said before. 6 films were premiered in Mexico during the dictatorship in Chile. Only one or none were premiered. And nowadays, I think, I don't remember the figure, but 30 and 50 films are premiered. It's another reality. And films, just like the ones here, are perfectly well made. They're not films, amateur films, these, and they're professionals here. It is, everything is quite diversified. And personally, I think it's very moving that that's the way it should, things should go down those lines. Congratulations for the film. I think you've been very courageous to make a film, or very brave to make a film upon the a poet or an artist, and even those little bows to Picasso. Mercedes, I loved your role, especially the irony that you constantly work with the exile, consented behind him. Please, could you go a bit further in depth? Well, okay, thank you very much. Yes, it was almost a salvation for me. They say when you have to play a role which existed in reality, there's an extra responsibility, an added responsibility. When I knew that we were free from that responsibility, because quite fortunately, this was an interpretation of what happened in reality and a very powerful imagination of the scriptwriter and the director to tell this story, that made me relax quite a lot. And I fell in love personally with my character, the woman who was Delia del Carril, who I didn't know who she was, quite sincerely, a woman who was very indisciplined for many reasons. And what most helped me to construct her character beyond, apart from the things that Pablo told me, was to find the great absent person today, Nieko, a formidable actor who plays Neruda, because I felt to construct the character of Adelia, I had to construct that link, which is a very particular link and connection with him. And I met Nieko, and it was like I'd met Neruda. I felt immediately married to the poet, so therefore in that sense, I advanced quite a lot. It's always being with a good, great actor, it's fantastic. But the truth is, I think Luis Gnecco portraying Gnecco, I think he plays it's a wonderful performance. That on the one hand, and the freedom that we were given, and this light type of encouragement took away any sort of solemnness in the way we shot the film and portrayed our characters. So therefore, all of that was involved. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much to all of you. We have no time for more questions. Enjoy the rest of your day, and congratulations, Gael.